everybody. Man, that was weak. You there in the back, you got to step it up a little bit. What is going on? That's a little better. Anyway, I'm being cheesy. I do that a lot. Moving along, welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Nine Circles Audio thing, where this time I'm bringing you an interview. Well, really, it's a chat that I recently had with guitarist Nick Lee from Moontooth. They've got a new full-length coming up March 29th on Modern Static Records called Crux. We dove into Crux, talked about touring, talked about lessons learned from their EP and their last full-length, metal in general, you name it, we talked about it. And it was a great chat. Talked about a lot of stuff, so head on inside, take a listen, and we'll see you on the backside. This is Nick.
Hey, Josh?
Yeah, how's it going, hey, man?
Good, man, how are you?
I'm doing well. Doing well. Hey, I know you guys are about to hit the road, so I appreciate you taking a little bit of time to talk to us about the album.
Yeah, man, I appreciate you calling me about it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, I guess we'll just get started then. I'm going to say right off the bat that Crux is a hell of an album.
Thanks,
man. It's a hell of an album. It shocked me, though, in a way, after the Freaks EP and then Chroma Paragon, I kind of almost envisioned this one going a little bit more progressive. But man, I mean, you know, from the second that Trust starts, it just grabs you by the balls and don't let go to the end.
So, that's awesome. Yeah, I mean, we have a lot of different interest and taste in the band, and we don't really subscribe to only like super crazy progressive music by any means, and we just kind of wanted to focus what the band does in some ways. I mean, there were actually some other songs that were a little bit more off the rails and insane that we have. Like one of them was actually recorded, but we're kind of like, I don't know, just this album made sense to just keep kind of this. This general theme of like focus and kind of, I don't know, just keep reining certain things in so that it was overall like more memorable, enjoyable album for people that, you know, didn't only like crazy shredding prog metal, you know?
Oh yeah. Well, I mean, that, you definitely hit on it there. I mean, it is, yeah, it's big time, man. It's catchy. And extremely memorable. I mean, it's one of those that you can't stop listening to it. You can't put it to the side and wait, okay, I'm going to go back to that in a couple of days. You find yourself going back to it over and over again.
That's cool, man. Thank you. I think that, yeah, we tried to write songs that were memorable and people, like, kind of no matter what, who, you know, what background you were in musically, or if you're, you know, a lot of, like, prog, you know, metal is, like, for people who play guitar or play drums or, you know, a lot of that's, like, for musicians. Like, we kind of wanted to make it more accessible to anybody who just likes rock music, but also still keep some heaviness and some, you know, just keep all the chops on the drums and the guitar there.
Oh yeah. Well, you know, that's the other thing about it is the energy, you know, going back to, I don't know, I was listening back through the last full length and it all, I don't know, to me, it seems like Bats in the Attic and Forgive Me Snake Riders were almost like fortune tellers to the energy of this album, just more in a rock direction, say, than just progressive.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like, like I said, like, we don't really like only metal, you know. Our singer especially doesn't come from a very metal place. And, you know, me and our drummer grew up, like, loving all, like, extreme metal, from, like, death metal and grindcore to, like, doom and sludge and stuff. You know, we kind of went through all that period of digging through all that stuff. But at the end of the day, you know, we all like... felt like good vocal melodies and good hooks, and just kind of wanted to write something that you could sing along to, you know, that you could come to the show and sing along to, or like in your car or whatever. I think we kept some prog songs on there, but you know, for the most part, we kind of just were like experimenting with like, what if we kind of went more, you know, like sort of conventional song structure, but like still kept it Moontooth, you know, still kept, made it sound like us.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. And I mean, you know, this one is, you know, the songwriting, and I've always been a big fan of the lyricism and how it comes across, but particularly on Crux, just the lyrics and the way they're put together, it flows extremely well on this album. So it's, you know, I mean, it almost seems like that 3-year break was just, I don't know, you like you said earlier, you sharpen chops, you sharpen this, and you agree with that?
Oh yeah, for sure. And I think that we, John, our singer, you know, and you know, main lyricist, he just kind of like had more, like, I mean, for all of us, really, like life had kind of kicked our ass, you know, in different ways, and the band, you know, like doing music for a living, or you know, attempting to do it for a living, you know, put living in quotations, you know, you know, like trying to really do this full time, and like, you know, the hurdles you got to jump with your job, financially, with your relationships. I think that in the 3 years of we were touring on Crow with Paragon, like that kind of provided a lot of inspiration, you know, because that's a good environment to create art in, is when you're like, you know, your environment's kind of volatile, and you're not really comfortable, and you know, your lady's pissed at you, or your job's pissed at you, you can't pay your bills. Those are good environments to make art.
Yes, for sure. Well, and that, you know, talking about that was one of the things that I found interesting about the music is, you know, you listen through the album, and I mean, I can't help but say, musically wise, man, it's a happy album. You know, it just puts you in a good mood. Mm-hmm. And then when you dive into the lyrics, it's like, oh man, it's a little dark. You know, it seems like there's a lot going on with the lyrics. That, you know, you're happy, and then you read the lyrics, it's like, man, there's a ton going on here that doesn't come through in the way the music presents itself. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think that the a bunch of the songs are super kind of like, you know, like you said, upbeat, kind of a lot of major key stuff, like kind of motivating sounding. But yeah, like John especially was kind of venting some of the frustration of, you know, trying to have a career in music while kind of retain, you know, keeping your integrity and what you believe in, and, you know, both like career wise and art wise, you know, just kind of getting knocked on your, you know, that's how it works in this industry, is like, you get high hopes, and then, you know, the reality is not what you expected it to be sometimes. And sometimes you get like, you know, there's the occasion where you're like, wow, like, I can't believe we got this show or this tour, or this person likes the album. You know, there's those exciting times, but there's a lot of times where, like, you know, it's an uphill battle. So I think that was kind of the inspiration for a lot of it. A lot of Chrome Paragon, the last album, was like kind of very motivational to, like, lyrically. Like, John was kind of telling people, you know, look, if we can do this, you can do this. If you want to go after your dreams, you got to go do it. And then this one's kind of like, you know, all right, well, now I'm facing the reality of, what if it doesn't work out? You know, what if I have to throw in the towel and kind of like accept defeat? And, you know, just kind of, not that that's what he wanted to do or any of us are trying to do by any means, but, you know, that reality of failure and like what it would mean to your life, and, you know, what is all the sacrifice for? Like, there's many songs that are kind of like talking about his love for doing this, or talking about, you know, like the struggle. Like, there's a song called Through Ash that's very much about the struggle. I forget which other ones. Like, Omega Days, like, the whole idea of that is like kind of taking our, like, that one's kind of like being like, you know, fuck it, all the naysayers and non-believers. Like, we're going to take our, you know, we're going to take our place on the throne, you know, one day. Whereas then the next track is more kind of like, you know, less confident, if that makes sense.
Trying to just reflect
all the emotional baggage that comes with trying to be in a band in 2019.
Yeah. Well, you know, and it's to me, it's always amazing, you know, if you hear directly from a band, okay, well, here's kind of, you know, the themes behind this album, or this is kind of what we were going through when we were writing it. And then you listen to the album, you get familiar with it, you get ingrained in the lyrics, and then you tie some of that back to your own self. Like in the title track is just intense. I mean, you know, slower, darker. But that the line, "I can't find the echo," really hit home for me for a bunch of other reasons, because there were times in my life that I couldn't find the echo, and it just made sense.
So that's interesting. Yeah, like that's one thing that John, our singer, is always kind of hesitant to. You know, I wanted him to make like a video where he talked about the themes of each, you know, the lyrical themes, but he's like, I'm kind of hesitant to do that because I kind of want people to, I don't really want to tell them it's all about for me. I want them to make it about themselves. And if they happen to ask me personally, it's one thing, but it's a good thing when people, you know, attach their own life to lyrics. You know, when you're growing up and you're first getting into music and you're reading lyric sheets, you know, certain things will kind of stick with you forever because it just meant something to you. It wasn't necessarily what the author meant, you know?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, and I mean, it's powerful when you can dive into lyrics like that, and there are, you know, so many different meanings you can get rather than just reading the lyrics and saying, okay, well, that's about that, and that's it. That's as deep as it goes.
Right.
And speaking of lyric sheets, man, you guys are releasing this thing on all kind of physical formats, and I'm loving it. I mean, we got vinyl, CD, got shirt bundle packages.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, was that just kind of a, hey, let's just go all for broke and put it out there on all the physicals and digitals and all that stuff? Or how did all the physical stuff come about?
Well, we've never pressed vinyl before. So that was like a big that was at the top of the checklist this time, is because, you know, we spent the last few years, everybody going, why are you pressing vinyl? Why are you pressing vinyl? But the last record was so long, it would have had to be a double, you know, double LP. And I'm like, you know, it's kind of late to shell out 10 grand for this right now. The record's been out for 2 years already, you know. But, you know, essentially, like, Modern Aesthetic Records is a brand new label that some friends of ours started. And they basically started it because they believed in this record and they believed in Moontooth. So, you know, they had some music industry experience, and then we kind of just talked about what would be cool, you know, like, let's do, obviously, you know, you do CD and vinyl bundles with t-shirts and then hoodies. And then we were like, they came to the table with like, let's do flags, you know, and then we did these cool album art flags. I don't know, just kind of get the ideas going from there. We got like this brewery here on Long Island, New York called Barrier Brewing to make a beer around one of the songs. And they came out to our listening party. They had this exclusive Moontooth beer that they made, which I'm hoping to get distributed. We'll see how that goes. But
That's cool. That's really cool.
Yeah, I mean, so, you know, just trying to be creative in this day and age, like, to get people to buy physical. And it's doing really well. You know, we're already, like, almost sold out of the first pressing of the vinyl. You know, and CDs are just good to have for on the road for someone to buy something for $10 if they don't have $25-$30 on them to buy a record. You know, it's our only kind of hope to reinvest. I mean, you know, that'll go into our van, that'll go into advertising, things like that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. All the stuff you got to do, got to have.
Yeah, it would have been a lot easier to just drop it on the internet and just be done with it. But, you know, we would have been, we're kind of old school in that sense that we want to be busy playing shows. We want to be busy, you know, packing orders. Like, we just, you know, us and the guys, you know, pretty much just us, you know, and some of the guys from the label have been, in the last 2 weeks, packing over 300 physical orders, you know, and just like getting it ready to ship. So we're kind of old school in that sense, you know. We kind of really want to just do it the way it's always been done, you know, and bring like, you know, 8 bins of shirts and vinyls and CDs on the road with us, even though it's a pain in the ass.
Well, I hate to admit that I've never been able to catch you guys live yet, but I did happen to catch the Audio Tree performance. I tell you, it was so funny because I didn't catch that until after I had already gotten knee deep into Crux. And the funny thing about it was, having listened to Crux a lot And then seeing the Audio Tree performance, even though that was off the last full length, the performance itself felt more this album than the last album.
That's interesting.
Yeah, it was weird because you know, then I had to say, okay, I got to go back and listen to that one. And I still, the performance, you know, okay, you listen to the album, that's the album, but you listen to the performance after being involved with Crux, and it just felt like, I don't know, man, it just felt more tied to this album than that one as far as sound, energy, and everything. So, I mean, I don't know. It almost seems like this might be the one that, and I know you guys said you're all over the place as far as, you know, artists and albums you love and all that stuff. But, I mean, it almost seems like this might be the one you've been working up to since the beginning. I mean, is that true, false, bullshit?
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Honestly, it does make a lot of sense. I think that, I mean, Chroma Paragon, the last one, it was written kind of like more disjointed, like some of the riffs and parts had been around for years before we even started, you know, putting it together. And then some of it had been written kind of as we were recording it. And then like a lot of the times it was like I would write a song or a drummer would write a song because he's also a great guitar player and arranger. And he would like, we'd come to our singer and be like, here's this fucking retarded, like, you know, insane song with like 300 riffs and like all these different time changes and be like, good luck, man. You know, it was more, it's kind of like, you know, not really very fair. Like we didn't like leave any room for vocals while we were writing it. It's just like, here's the most insane thing I can write. You know, we'll worry about vocals later. And then like his response to that for Chroma Paragon was to kind of write almost like competitively crazy vocal parts, you know, where it was like, all right, well, the chorus is never like the same rhythm and the melodies like are really wild. And, you know, you typically like your vocal melody comes in and it's just on the downbeat and it repeats the same way, the same cadence for the verses and the choruses are like, might as well be copy and pasted. And he was like, way not into that. So like now with the new one with Crux, it was like, okay, now after like touring together pretty steadily for 3-4 years, we were writing with each other in mind. And we were writing with especially John, our singer, in mind, kind of leaving space for him to, you know, to really like write something that was, you know, palatable. Because, I mean, you know, he would bring me stuff for the old last album and I would be like, what the hell is this? You know, but after a few times listening to it, I'd be like, okay, like I see what's going on now. And this is really cool. This is really progressive and interesting and different. But in general, like, we were kind of just writing together more. It wasn't like, here's my song, write something to it. It was kind of like, here's a part to a song, like, help me develop it. Like, bring me another piece to this puzzle so then I will then take what you gave me and I'll make that into, you know, I'll take that and run with it for the next part or for the chorus or whatever. So I think it was just more, it sounds more cohesive because we were just more cohesive. We'd been playing together longer and kind of knew what was going to work and what wasn't. And then we also worked with Mark Morton and Machine. So, I mean, once we brought the songs to them for pre-production and they were like starting to then even add to that, like, okay, well, this song will be stronger if you get to the verse quicker here, or this, you know, do this chorus twice, or, you know, like, you know, even down to like, this solo is cool, but like rewrite it, write another one, you know, and just kind of like getting the outside perspective. That's why, you know, overall it was like, we got stronger as a band and then we were kind of smart and brave enough to like allow outsiders to come in and kind of like, you know, mess with our like concoctions we were making, you know?
Yeah. So working with Mark and Machine on this one was a good call then, in your opinion.
Oh yeah, totally. I mean, we'd never done it before and, you know, it was difficult because it was like, you know, it was hard for us to put our guard down. You know, we'd have to kind of argue things out. But it was also cool, though, because Machine's, you know, he's a producer. But Mark has been, now he's, like, been on both sides, you know, as an artist and a producer. And had actually worked with Machine and, like, been under the gun with him specifically, doing Lamb of God, like, doing Ashes of the Wake and Sacrament with Machine. So he could kind of relate to us when we were like, I really kind of don't want to change that. That's kind of important to me, and then kind of be able to talk about it, you know, and be like, well, you know, you got to be willing to try things. And a lot of times it'd be like, you know, if it'd been a song that we'd been playing live for a year or something like that already, and they'd be like trying to get us to change it, it'd be, we'd be kind of like, I don't really know if I can change it. You know, this is kind of just what it is. But then once we would hear it back, you know, once, you know, two, three times, like, okay, yeah, you're right. That is better. That definitely feels better now. So it was like a learning experience. You know, I think that if we were to work with producers again, we would go into it kind of with more of an open mind and honestly, like with less finished material. Cause I think that was the hardest thing, was just when we had songs that we saw as finished, you know, that was, it was hard to work on those. But the ones that were just kind of like, you know, a couple of riffs and maybe a vocal, a verse idea for the vocals, like those were easy to work on. Those were fun because we weren't married to any of it yet. But overall, yeah, we learned a lot, and we kind of learned a lot more about, I guess, just like, I don't know, the perception of the band, you know, like, or the music anyway, because it's like you're so wrapped up in what you're doing that you really can't get a perspective sometimes. You know, it's like when we'd be working on a recording all day, all night, doing a 10-hour session, 12-hour session, at the end of it, I'm like, I don't even know if I want to be in this band anymore. You know, I'd be like, I don't even know what this sounds like, because you just lose all perspective of what it is. You know, you don't have an emotional attachment to it anymore, you know? So yeah, it was cool. It was definitely, it was a challenge, but it was cool.
Yeah. I mean, that's talking about the songs. That's gotta be hard going into a session like this. And like you said, you know, basically being married to some songs and some songs not so much, and then somebody going, ah, we're going to cut that to pieces. That's got to be tough.
Yeah, exactly. It was kind of like, wait, what do you mean? You know, like, that's of course you got to play the riff one more time. And then you hear it back and be like, all right, I guess you're right, you know. And then now it's kind of like I hear the album and, you know, I know what we changed. Like, my memory's not that bad. I know what, like, I remember the conversations and everything, but I don't hear it like, I don't hear what it was anymore. I just hear what it became, and I'm proud of what it became. And it's like, you could definitely make the argument that there could be too many cooks in the kitchen. But I think when it came to this, I think it worked out to just have discussion about it. And that was what was cool too, is, you know, grew up kind of getting together two times a week, you know, and going through the song, you know, everybody works all day, and then you get up, you get together and you're like half shot and you like kill two beers. And then you're like, okay, like now I got a couple hours of like actually good, like creative energy, you know, in me to like work on this, you know, and this is like your passion in life, and you're squeezing it into your week, you know, with everything else going on. And this was like, we were together with them for like 8 days straight, getting up at 9 a.m. and immediately starting to work on music until like midnight. So it was like good to be really cracking everything open and talking about every detail. And that's how you got like a lot of good work done, just being super invested in it.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Well, talking about Mark, I'm assuming that the tour you guys are about to go on with him and Light the Torch kind of came about by just working with him on the album. Is that so?
Yeah, I can't. I mean, it definitely has a lot to do with it. I mean, we, you know, kind of a weird thing is we hadn't spoken for a while, like while we were doing the actual tracking, like we were sending him mixes and stuff, and then he would be giving us feedback. And then eventually that kind of like slowed down, and we were like, all right, whatever, he's getting ready to put his solo album out. Like, let's not bug him anymore. You know, he's already done it up, you know? So we like, it kind of came out of nowhere. Like we weren't expecting it, but, yeah, it was funny. I had like a whole like headlining tour booked for March, like I booked myself, and I was like about to announce it in the beginning of January. And then we got the offer like a few days before, so to can that whole tour. But it was, you know, obviously it's worth it. Just fucked up how things work sometimes doing this shit. But yeah, it was that. And like, we kind of knew his agent from many years ago, who saw us at South By, and we kind of stayed in touch. So I think it's just, you know, and it's just good timing. We have records coming out in the same month, so like they probably knew that we'd be getting press and stuff. So it all just kind of worked out, which is really exciting. You know, I mean, I grew up listening to Lamb of God, you know, so I just at one point knew how to play tons of their songs, you know. At least me and our drummer used to jam on them all the time before practice. So it's like kind of surreal to be starting to become, you know, friends with the dude. Cause you know, I feel like we did leave more as friends than like business associates, you know?
Yeah.
But we're super psyched. I mean, it's going to be interesting. Like, he's playing all his solo stuff, and then Light the Torch with Howard Jones. And again, like Killswitch in high school was like a big band for me, and it's surreal. It should be really interesting, you know. I hope that their crowds will accept Moonteeth, but I'm pretty sure that they will.
Yeah, I don't see any issues there at all. I think it'll be a shoe
into
that.
Singing, like heavy music with clean singing and like a whole tour like that. I feel like that's kind of, I don't know if we've ever even done one where it was like all heavy music with no brutal vocals. Not that we care. I mean, I like that stuff too, but I don't know if we've ever actually done a tour that was like actual clean singing. You know, we've opened for like Intronaut and, well, they had clean singing, but them and like Fit for an Autopsy, Tombs, like all these really kind of really heavy bands.
Yeah. And how was the reaction to those kind of tours?
Always really good. I mean, like we've done tours with, yeah, like Fit for an Autopsy. It's probably the heaviest band we've gone out like for a full U.S. tour in support of. And we were kind of like, it was them and Tombs. So that's like, those bands are very, they're very different from each other, but both very, very much on the more extreme spectrum of heavy music than we are. So like, we were kind of going into it like, well, this is a good opportunity, but we might get eaten alive every night. But, you know, it never happened that way. I think, you know, we put on a really energetic show. And I think that in general, like people who like heavy music are starting to become more, I don't know, just like more into everything. I think that that's kind of just inevitable. Like, I think that people who like Fit for an Autopsy are going to like cool technical riffs and guitar playing and drumming. And maybe we'll look past the fact that we didn't have a death metal singer or something. Because all the reactions were really positive. And then the same thing, like, we went out and support this band, Thank You Scientist, who are, like, more just, like, progressive rock fusion. You know, they were playing fucking Stevie Wonder songs and stuff and shredding over them. And we went out in direct support of them. And it was kind of the opposite reaction where people were like, holy shit, what the fuck is this? You know, and not expecting a metal band. But, again, it was, like, usually very positive and very, like, you know, so that's the thing. It's like some people might think we don't fit with shit, but in the same sense, kind of fit with everything.
Yeah, well, and that, you know, and that's the thing with, I mean, you know, with this new album, and I mean, obviously, you know, the progressive stuff in the past, is it, you guys, in my opinion, straddle what I'm just going to say is almost a near perfect line between metal and really hard but stick in your head rock. I mean, there's really, you know, to me, I mean, it's metal, period. If somebody said, what is that? That's what I'd say. But I think you guys strike a really good balance of being able to be in a lot of places at one time and make sense with all of it.
Thanks, man. Yeah, I mean, that's kind of where it is. I mean, we like it. You know, I grew up on all metal, you know. I mean, me and our drummer definitely, like, bonded pretty much over Metallica, Slayer, Pantera. You know, that's when we first met. And then, obviously, you get into everything else. You know, as you grow up, you know, you get into every type of music. But you know, we've had the conversation before of kind of like, you know, if we consider it a metal band or a rock band. I mean, I don't really care what anybody calls it, really. I think the simplest way to describe it is just rock and roll. You know, it's just, you know, it's whatever you want to kind of lump it into. It really doesn't matter to me as long as you buy the record.
Yeah.
Or you come to a show or something, you know.
Yeah, buy the record, come to the show, get the T-shirt, whatever.
Yeah, like just as long as you're into it. I think when we were trying to get a radio campaign going for the record and the song Trust was going to be the first single, you know, a guy that was working with us on it was like, well, this isn't really like a metal album, you know that, right? Like, they're not going to play it on liquid metal. And I was like, I don't know, man. You know, and they have been playing it constantly on liquid metal, which is awesome for us. You know, like Jose Mangan's putting on his double dozen or whatever. And, you know, I keep getting hit up by people saying they're hearing it and they're listening to it in the car. So it's like, it really depends on just, you know, who knows why people like what they like, but it's either going to strike a chord with you or not, you know.
Yep. Oh, yeah, definitely. Well, that lead-off single had a crazy video for it. What inspired the rage room that you had for it? That was one of those where you almost wish you got called to be an extra in.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I mean, it was a fun one to shoot. We basically like we should shot another video which will be coming out in a few weeks first for a different track, but we kind of like now when we put a lot more into like a storyline and concepts and it was a 2-day shoot, and then we kind of like along the line we're like, you know what, we don't really want that to be the first single, so you know, we want Trust to be the first single, and we kind of had to shoot a video with not a lot of time or, you know, to work with. So it had to be a one day shoot. And then it was just kind of like an idea that had been tossed around. It's like, I mean, you know, it's fun to destroy shit, right? So it's just like, you know, I just, we were trying to think of like what would be something that people would want to watch, you know, again, you know, just because if it's just us playing in a basement, you know, like you're in a, you know, abandoned warehouse kind of situation, you know, like, all right, you've seen that once and you don't really need to go back and see it again. But like, if the video was kind of funny or just like fun to watch because you just get shit, see shit getting like annihilated in slow motion. So that was kind of what it was, just like a simple concept. We knew we could pull off. We knew we could get friends down. And, you know, it's just, the band is kind of a cathartic thing. You know, you kind of get a lot of your anger and frustration and aggression out in a positive way. So I guess the Rage Room is kind of an analogy for that, where it's like, yeah, you're destroying shit, but it's, you know, you're doing it in a positive, controlled way where you're not hurting anybody. You're not hurting, you know, you're not doing anything that's going to get you arrested or anything like that. You know, it was just like a fun way to kind of like just something cool visual to go with the song, which is a very like intense song.
Yeah. Well, the video fits right on the money. That's for sure.
Thanks, man.
Well, what would you say would be the top, maybe top one, top two, say valuable lessons now that you're going into Crux from Freaks and Chroma Paragon? I mean, you know, and it can be anything, you know, heck, just the experience of being in the first two and then now with this one makes, you know, whatever it is, any valuable lessons you learned that made this one easier or decisions easier?
As far as like, you know, like things I've learned, you know, as far as like the being in the band, career, stuff like that.
Yeah, anything.
I think, I don't know. I mean, the biggest lesson, if I was talking to like someone who was just starting out, like they're just about to put out their first EP or whatever, I mean, the thing I've learned is just that like you have to be willing to stick it out, you know, like and like, you know, it sounds cliche, but not give up, but like literally just be willing to like let the shit take years because and find, you know, find people who will do it with you because, you know, everybody I think has this, like, you know, since I was like 15, you know, booking shows, you know, at people's houses, I was like, all right, well, you know, this will be the year, you know, where like the label will do this demo and then the big label will come around and stuff. Like, you know, I've been doing that my whole life. So I think by the time, you know, we were past Chroma Paragon and going towards this record, I realized that like, I gotta just let go of that and just kind of be willing to let it, you know, bloom the way it's going to bloom and not really try to, don't try to force relationships or try to force, you know, things to happen. Like as far as like what manager you're going to work with or what label is going to pick you up or whatever, like just like go out there and like just do your work, write the best music you can, do as much good touring as you can, and just be willing to like be in it for the long ride. I think that it sounds negative, and I don't mean it in a negative way, but almost like lowering expectations sometimes and just kind of like letting it kind of just do what it's going to do, you know, you know, never not working hard, but not trying too hard to force an outcome because you just can't, like this shit's all chaos, you know? And, there were times in last year where we were all like really sick of being told no from people and like being like kind of losing an agent or losing a manager, or things not working out that you thought you would, and losing opportunities that like you should have had, things like that. Like, and now we're on the opposite side where it's like, okay, we're getting sick opportunities and, you know, people are excited about the band again. And, you know, I'm doing an interview, you know, you know, and it's like, so it's just being in it for the long haul. Cause this shit has ups and downs. Like, you know, this is like the ebb and flow of doing this. It's like, there's going to be really good times and really, really bad times. And, you know, I'm just being willing to kind of accept all of it and just enjoy all of it for the ride and not for like a reward, you know?
Yeah. No, that's a solid lesson that I think a lot of folks getting into it could come to, because that's, you know, like you said, you know, I don't want to sound negative, but to me, it's just real life. Unfortunately, you know, we live in this day and age of everything now. And if it's not now, I don't want it. And, you know, so that's from somebody that's been there, that's good to hear.
Yeah, man. It's like if anybody had ever said to me, like, oh, you know, I'll do this until I'm 30, and then if you know, I don't get signed. Like, to me, like, that sounds naive. Kind of naive, but also just kind of short-sighted. It's like, why would you cut it? Like, what is the reason that you're going to cut it off? Like, I'm not saying, like, everybody should be going broke and pissing in water bottles in a van, you know, 9 months out of the year. But like, you know, it's like there's no reason to really stop. You just kind of, like, you just try to focus your work in a way that makes sense for your life. Because giving up on pursuing music would be kind of the equivalent to just, like, I don't know, like just killing a part of myself. So it's, you know, the idea that, like, oh, because I didn't get, you know, on this metal label or whatever, we didn't get to this on this big, huge tour that we wanted, whatever it is, like, none of that disappointment should shape what you really want to do. You know, like, what it's like, I want to make cool music and go play good shows. And, like, that's kind of lowering the ceiling to that. Then all of a sudden, all the good stuff is just like the, you know, the cherry on top. It's not like what you're after.
Absolutely. Well, you've got the new album coming out later this month. You've got the tour starting next week. And then,
yep. So
after that, anything on tap that we need to know about? Maybe more touring or?
Well, we have one, but I'm not allowed to publicly talk about it yet. But yeah, I mean, in general, just a lot more touring for the rest of the year. I'm trying to get us over to Europe. That's like kind of the big.
Oh man,
that's the next big bucket list thing. So I started to kind of put feels out to people. It's an expensive thing to do. So as long as I can find a way for us to break even on it, I think that's like, you know, we've done the full U.S. several times now, and that's fun, and I'm excited to do it as much as possible. But I think if we can do that, you know, then it's like, okay, that's a big one. Once you do that, I feel like whatever happens to us after that, at least, like, we did that, you know.
You can always say, been there, done that.
Yeah, exactly. I've done it I played another band called Riot, and it's like an old school power metal band, and I've gotten to go over there and do it, and every time I'm there, I'm like, man, I can't wait to fucking get Moontooth over here. I feel like that'll be where people kind of will get it right off the bat, or maybe not even get it right off the bat, but just kind of like, be like, okay, this is different. I'm into this, you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. Well, listen, man, I've taken up enough of your time. Any last words, shout-outs, gripes, happy stuff, get off your chest at all?
No, man, thank you for having us on, and I appreciate that you're, you know, talking about Moontooth on your site. It means a lot to us.
Oh, yeah. Well, listen, y'all got a hell of an album about to hit, and we're excited for it. I know a bunch of people that's excited for it, and people that don't know, I hope when they find out, they're going to be excited for it too. So we wish you guys the best of luck on the road with the new album, and hopefully we'll be doing this again soon.
All right, Josh. Yeah, man, anytime.
Okay, man. I appreciate it.
Cool, man. Have a good one.
All right, talk to you later. I told you that was a good chat. Well, needless to say, I've had this promo now for, by the time you hear this, it'll probably be about a month and a week or so. And according to iTunes, I've listened to it roughly 56 times. Yeah, you heard that right, 56 times. And I'm just as excited about it now as I was when I first heard it. You know, it's rock, it's metal, it's all that in between. So anybody that says they're not metal enough, get out of town. Anybody that says they're not rock enough, get out of town. I don't even want to hear it. So you can find Crux in various formats, as we discussed in the interview, at moontoothny.bandcamp.com. You can find them on Facebook at Moontooth Band. And then, of course, You can find us at 9circles.co on the interwebs, Twitter and Instagram at _9circlesblog. And if you feel so inclined, you can reach us at 9circlesblog@gmail.com. Thanks to everybody who listened. Hope you enjoyed it. And do not miss this album from Moontooth, Crux, March 29th, Modern Static Records. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next time.